Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
The regular season in the NBA wraps up on Sunday. Then it's play-in time, and then it's playoff time.
Still so much uncertainty as to how things are going to play out.
Oh, what a pass! What a pass by Curry!
A triple-double for Russell Westbrook.
Flips it out! The first 50-piece of his career.
Yes, sir, Ski.
What is going on here with Draymond Green? Is he one of an honorary Splash Brother?
Oh, my goodness, Perk. What an eventful night in the association.
Yeah, eventful.
Eventful.
It was a beautiful event.
Oh, a beautiful event. That's what it was. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet. This is sure to be a beautiful event as well. Kendrick Perkins, Ramona Shelburne, Adrian Wojnarowski. I'm Malika Andrews. Last night was busy, too. We had 50-point performances. We had scores where I literally had to check my phone to make sure that nothing was glitching. I'm looking at you, Suns, Clippers. But there was also a pretty big injury scare in an all-important game for the Milwaukee Bucks. So let's show you what happened in Pfizer Forum as Milwaukee continued their chase to secure the number two seed. This time it was against the Boston Celtics. They didn't have their full complement of players, but don't worry, that still meant there were plenty of Giannis highlights to start out this game. A little reverse dunk there, throwing it down with two hands. But Kendrick, really, it was this play, Giannis taking it down. You think this is going to be,
And that's the Giannis we want to see. The guy that's going to leave it all out on the floor. Give me that.
You think that was going to be an easy two for Jaylen Brown there. Not so fast. But going ahead to the third quarter here, this was a scary moment for Milwaukee Bucks fans. Giannis on a play really away from any other player, away from the ball, just pulls up, starts grabbing on to his left calf there. The Bucks would win the game, but everyone was holding their breath. And after the game, Doc Rivers said that Giannis would get an MRI on his calf and on his Achilles, which is never a word you want to hear. And that actually happened today. Woj, what did it reveal?
Well, the good news for Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks, is that Achilles was fully intact, okay, and that this is a calf strain. And the question is going to be is how quickly can Giannis recover for this? We are about essentially 10 or 11 days away from a game one for the Bucks. Giannis has shown a tremendous capacity in his career to come back quicker from injuries than almost anybody else, whether it was a knee injury in the conference finals that got him back against Atlanta, then on to beat the Suns in the finals. You know, the thought was that was a 4 to 6 week injury. He was back in less than a week. And it happens a lot with groin injuries, with hamstrings with him, where the team might say, hey, this could be a couple of weeks, Giannis, and he's back playing in a few days. But it is unclear right now. We'll see how, you know, he responds to treatment. But certainly knowing Antetokounmpo, you know, he wants to be on the court and he has a tolerance, a physical tolerance that allows him to play. This organization needs him and they need him early in the playoffs, especially with the way they have played really for the last couple months.
Absolutely. And really, he has a super freak capacity to heal. I think back to that 2021 finals run, title run, rather, that they made, and everyone held their breath. Oh, my goodness, he's not going to be able to play in the entirety of the NBA finals. Oh, no, he was back out there and impactful in game one and then had 50 to top off the championship run that they had. But that was a different Bucks squad. It had Jrue Holiday. Chris Middleton was really playing at a different level and was able to anchor them in that to finish off the Atlanta series that you mentioned, Woj. Do you think that the Milwaukee Bucks Perk can survive even a short stint here without Giannis?
Are you asking me, do I trust Damian Lillard to get them through the first round?
That's why they got him.
In a trash Eastern Conference? Hell yeah. Are you asking me, do I have trust in Brook Lopez, a guy that could do it on both ends of the floor? Yes. Are you asking me, do I have trust in money-making Middleton? I do. If you're asking me, do I have trust that Doc Rivers could elevate his game in the postseason? to get them through the first round? I do. I don't know if the rest of the world does. But speaking of Doc Rivers,
the congregation of Milwaukee just said amen to everything that Preacher Perk was. And do I have faith in you?
I mean, I do. Let's be real. They're not in the West. We're talking about in the Eastern Conference.
And I know you have. Up with Philadelphia as a seventh seed?
I like their odds. Okay. I mean, I like what Bobby Portis brings to the game. With Giannis being out of the rotation, he's a 20-10 guy coming in that starting role. So now it's a chance for Doc Rivers to actually shut a lot of people up, right? He gets a start to change the narrative, right? Because he's going to have to coach, really dive into his bag, and I believe he can. I believe he will. I thought he made a great move last night, adding Patrick Beverley into that starting lineup. That was huge. I mean, it's going to be a hard task, but I think they got enough pieces to get it done and to survive until Giannis gets back.
It's actually an easier fit when Giannis is not on the court with Dame. Like, he scores 32.3 points a game when Giannis is not on the court. When he is on the court, it's 23. So they have not made each other better yet. They haven't figured out that two-man game. They've been better, but they have not necessarily enhanced each other because they don't have that pick-and-roll game yet. Doc Rivers has put in a few plays where they play for each other and with each other, but their games haven't meshed in the way the Bucks thought they were going to mesh when they first traded for Damian Lillard. And without him, it's Dame time, right? It's Dame time. This is the two-month period that they got him for. I think initially they were hoping they would mesh together and enhance each other because of all the space that's created out there. But this is what you got Dame Lillard for. You have the extra time now because of the play-in tournament. There's going to be an extra week. And I don't think we should see Giannis the rest of the regular season. He should rest. We all know, we've heard what happens with a calf. I know the Achilles is intact, but that was the same thing with Kevin Durant, right? You have a calf injury, well, that's right next to the Achilles. What part of the calf is it? Is it high? Is it low? Is it the middle? That's a question for Giannis and the Bucks that they have to answer.
Yeah, and this is an injury that you have seen. There can be an easy recurrence of it if you come back too quickly, or you can see more significant damage done if you come back too quickly.
Right.
Listen, this is a Bucks team that was put together to go deep into June. Mm. But there's a world where without Giannis Antetokounmpo early in a playoff series, that they can fall behind and maybe not be able to catch back up when he comes. They have not played well. And, Perk, you're describing a scenario that nobody has really seen lately with this team, of them playing at, never mind a championship level, a level that doesn't put them in jeopardy, you know, very early in a first-round playoff series.
Right. And really, this is a team, though, that's already clinched a playoff spot, so they're really just worrying about a little bit of positioning here. So they can afford, even though these last couple of games are monumental in determining what seed they will be, they lost as the number one seed to the 8 seed last year. That's not necessarily what a team is worried about. They are worried about making sure Giannis is as healthy as he can so they can make an impact when it matters the most. But the rest of the East really isn't going to wait around for Giannis, for the Bucks, for anybody here, because Joel Embiid and what's his name, Big Perk?
Big Body Brunson.
They have both had huge nights last night, so let's show you exactly what went down. No Tyrese Maxey in this one, Kendrick, but Joel Embiid pulls the trigger.
You see the behind the back pull up the midi. Look, he's going to have to knock down that midi.
Oh, my God.
Not just
come on.
Shot, but he's going to have to master the mid-range game in the postseason because we can see he don't have his lip.
He's already mastered the circus shot there. Tyrese Maxey just in awe at that play and then showing off his range that he has here as well. It's easy to forget this is a guy who is scoring more points than he has minutes played. Still, at this point in the season, they get the win, 120-102. And then Jalen Brunson.
There you go.
Picking up right really where he left off the first quarter. Knicks up 30-22. Brunson pulls for three. You already knew that was good when it left his hand.
And it was supposed to be a blitz, a trap, or whatever. He don't care. Look at his game management.
That's Alex Caruso on him. That's an all-defensive player on him.
2 minutes left in the fourth. Josh Hart finds Brunson. These two go way back, and their connection shows. The Knicks get the win. Brunson, 45 points, 8 assists.
How many?
Here's a look. 45 and 8, Kendrick. Here's a look at the Eastern standings. The 3 through the 6 seeds are separated by just a game and a half. And then Embiid 76ers, they're coming. They're just a game behind 6. They are still lurking in range to avoid the play-in tournament, which is pretty significant. I don't know if we thought we'd be saying that about a team who missed Joel Embiid for this much. There is significant movement up and down the standings. Yep. But at this point in the year, I mean, we essentially know who each of these teams are. We really do. Who's more dangerous in the postseason, the Knicks or the 76ers, Ramona?
That's a tough one, and this is not a disrespect to your guy, Jalen Brunson.
Oh, no, okay? It's fine.
But they don't have Julius Randle. And I think in the playoffs, when the game slows down, they're going to miss that inside presence. So I'm going to say the Sixers just because Joel Embiid is that guy. And he's only going to get better the more he plays, the better shape he gets back into.
Well, they don't need Julius Randle in order for them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. The guy that they needed, they got back in OG Anunoby. And we saw what he did last night. And I also saw what he did against Giannis Antetokounmpo when they played the Bucks a couple of nights ago when he was locking them up in the fourth quarter. Now, getting to big body Brunson here for a second. Do we see what he's been doing to the league over the last 2 months? I mean, right now, I mean, it's a 60 ball, 43 the other night, 45, 30 and 11. I mean, this guy right here and what he's been doing has been amazing. And he should be in the top five for his MVP.
He's on my ballot.
Yeah, conversation. And look, if they finish second, which they could, I think we got to really look into this. But when I look into the Knicks and I look at OG Anunoby and I look at this kid McBride and I look at Hardenstein and what he's bringing to the court right now for Tibbs, playing them extended minutes. They trust them like crazy. This team right here is dangerous.
What Jalen Brunson has done this season is forced everybody to recalibrate their thinking about his ability to lead them deep into the postseason. Recalibrate.
Okay.
Recalibrate.
Hey, I like that, Wolf.
Thanks, Bert.
All right.
What did I say, Bonaventure?
I like that.
They really have, though. They forced Perk to expand his vocabulary and use recalibrate to think about what this Knicks team can do. And when you think about a team that is going to be, whether they're the second seed, whether they're the third seed, the fourth seed, they're going to be up there in the standing versus the Philadelphia 76ers, who it is still a possibility that they really are the seventh seed and they're going to have to play a play-in game. Anytime you add those extra miles, there is something that comes with that, a toll that comes with that. But the good thing about the 6-7, in either one of those spots, you avoid the Boston Celtics until the conference finals. And that could be huge for anybody in the Eastern Conference. All right, we have a lot to get to on our show today. Steph and the Warriors, they did something. How is this possible that has never been done in NBA history? Find out what that was next. Through all the dynasty teams, it's never happened. I know. Plus, the comeback kings of the night. They were the Thunder against Sacramento. So Big Perk tells us why it's not smart to sleep on OKC come play. Playoff time. And Kendrick, did you see what Ant-Man did?
I saw every bit of it.
He had a career night. How would you say it? 50 piece all flat?
Yeah.
But can he do it when the stage is the biggest and in the biggest game really of the season tonight? We tell you next on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
Oh, the race for the one seed out west, it is far from finished. So let's catch you up with a little coast to coast. And we're starting with a team who has spent more time than anyone with the West's top spot, the Wolves. Anthony Edwards, he dropped a career-high 51 points to help Minnesota erase a 21-point deficit and knock off the Wizards. Kendrick, what is the Wolves' ceiling with this version of Ant?
Oh, the Western Conference Finals. And maybe the NBA Finals if they get lucky or they competing at a high level. But Anthony Edwards, this young man is a problem. And I know we've been acknowledging we got to keep putting the world on notice because he makes us put them on notice.
50 Cent in the building for a 50 piece. Next up, the defending champs, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray had 28 points apiece as the Nuggets improved to 16-1 when Murray scores 25 or more. So Ramona, most lethal duo in the West?
You know, I'm still going to give that to Kyrie and Luka, but that's almost just a compliment to Jokic because they can win with just Jokic because he's that good. Jamal Murray makes them a champion, though.
Jamal Murray, the rest of the Nuggets squad really though, Aaron Gordon and the rest, in order for them to repeat as champions. Let's round out the top three with the Thunder. They overcame a 20-point deficit.
Ooh, there goes that man. He's back.
Up against the Sacramento Kings.
There goes the other
40.
Man.
The 51st 30-point game of the season. The only player since the merger to have more at age 25 or younger. Who do you think, Perk? Michael Jordan.
Death, taxes, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting 30.
Listen, a lot of these teams at the bottom of the Western Conference keep saying, are we hearing whispers that they want to see OKC? Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
SGA and J-Dub, they're the third best duo behind Luka and Kyrie and Jokic and Murray in the Western Conference.
So look at this. All three teams, they win. And so the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, they remain tied atop the West. The Thunder, a game back with three left to play. None bigger, though, than tonight's matchup in Denver that we have on ESPN against the Timberwolves. That is going to be one that I know we all have our eye on. So it's time now for Big Man Ballin'. Brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN, and Kendrick Perkins. I know you are watching the big men in this matchup.
I am. Hello, world. Look, usually I allow some others in this, but it's all about me today. It's all about the big man today because you have to fit a certain criteria, height and weight limit. We got first team all whack body Jokic, and we got Rudy Gobert. Now, look. A lot of people doesn't take the Timberwolves seriously, and this is why. But I need to explain why. Excuse me. Here it is. When they match up against the Denver Nuggets, it's Rudy versus Jokic. Everyone else is told to stay home. Look at this. 7-2, bothering him. You'll live with that. Take away the others. Look at here it goes again. Now you think you got a mismatch. You're going against Naz Reid. Here we go. You got Rudy, 7-2, showing his arms. Watch Mike Conley on this opposite. Oh, I love that. Look, Rudy, active hands, deflections. They're getting out on the break. Now, listen to this, Malika. Against the Wolves this season, 3.3 assists per game. Fewest versus any opponent. That's what Jokic is averaging. So their plan is working. I know we may see, hey, do they have the recipe? We may be asking that. But they do have the personnel to get it done in the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, ESPN Bet is the official sports book of ESPN, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. And you can check out Perk's Big Man Parlay exclusively in the ESPN Bet app. But Perk, I know you said it's all about you. It is, in some ways, but it's also all about Ant and Nikola Jokic and their thoughts on tonight's showdown. And these two, they really know the enormity, right, of the stakes. And they express that enormity. Yeah. They express it exactly as you'd expect.
I think everybody knows what's at stake, so I don't even need to talk about how big of a game it is. I think everybody knows.
I mean, I don't think it's a really big game. I think it's a, you know, I think it's important to finish the season healthy. Yes, we're gonna go to out there to play and win the game, of course. But I think people are just making their story. It's a big, big game. Hopefully, it's gonna be interesting. But I don't think so. It's that big of a game.
You're right.
It's never changed, Nicola.
It's all totally made up. It's not like tonight's winner will have the inside track to the one seed. It's not like if you look at ESPN analytics, the Timberwolves would have a 95% chance with a win. They would be a game up with the tiebreaker. The Nuggets would have a 77% chance with a victory with their final two games coming against the Spurs and the Grizzlies. So you're right. Not a big game. Not a big game at all. But we wouldn't have it any other way. Nicola back here with Woj, with Ramona, with Perk. It's a massive game. It has massive playoff implications, even though we just heard that from Nicola Perk. I know you're looking forward to this matchup. Why is it? You think it could be a preview of something that's to come?
Of the Western Conference Finals. I know, look, we're all believers of the Denver Nuggets, and rightfully so. They won the championship. They have the best player in Jokic. But we have to start believing in the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are the real deal. They're the number one defensive team for a reason. They have one of the best rising young superstars in Anthony Edwards, and we need to believe that. They have the pieces. They have the chemistry. If you watch them, they make you uncomfortable on the defensive end. And when I'm looking at this game tonight, look, people could try to downplay it. I know Jokic said it really didn't matter, but it does matter. Having home court throughout the Western Conference, in the playoffs, in the Western Conference, is going to be huge. It's going to be huge, especially if you have to have a game seven.
Yeah, but if it's been impressive, right, that the Timberwolves have been able to do what they've done with Karl-Anthony Towns missing well over a month here. But if they want to achieve those goals, get to the Western Conference Finals, like you're saying, health is wealth. It really matters here. How close is he to returning, Woj?
Yeah, catch return is imminent. It will not be tonight against the Nuggets. He's already been ruled out. But the possibility very much looms that we will see Karl Anthony Towns Friday or Sunday.
Wow.
They play the Hawks. They play the Suns this weekend to close out the regular season. He has looked good in his workouts, in his five-on-five. He's about a month out from that meniscus surgery. But the belief in Minnesota is that they're going to have a very healthy, Karl Anthony Towns, and who's ready to kind of reassimilate back into this lineup, and he'll do that just in time for the postseason.
I think that's really important because I think the initial expectation was that he wouldn't come back until the first round, a couple games into the first round. So if he can get some games in there before the end of the regular season, that's important because Naz Reid has been great for them. Naz Reid has stepped
kind of
right
allowed that
right,
to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And we know what teams do with these projections. They always err on the side of caution to not feel like they're rushing the player back. It was 4 to 6 weeks, but I think there was confidence with the kind of procedure he had that he could be back in a month, and here he is on the cusp now of his return.
I think this game tonight is interesting. Both teams on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
This game is in Denver. This is where Nikola Jokic's conditioning that he has worked so hard at. I mean, he does a special workout. Go and read Om Yongmyssik's story from last year about what he does every single time he goes back to Denver to reacclimate to the altitude there. It's incredible for him to be in the shape he is for nights just like this. So he may say it's not a big game. It's a big game. In Denver, Aaron Gordon's had a shoulder injury that he's been nursing for the past couple of games. He fell hard against the San Antonio Spurs. I saw him in LA when they lost that game against the Clippers. And you could tell they were saving him for this game tonight because it is that important for them.
I think it's much more important for Minnesota to get the number one seed
for
than
sure.
It is the Nuggets. A team that is yet to do it, that has not had playoff success.
Yeah.
The Joker knows and believes he can go on the road and win a game six or win
right.
a game seven in the playoffs.
Which is why there is truth in what he right. is saying. He is not just, blowing smoke by saying, oh, no, it's not a big game. It's to him, this matters less than it does maybe to an inexperienced Minnesota Timberwolves team that has lofty expectations for the season. But it all goes down tonight in our NBA Wednesday doubleheader. Anthony Edwards and company in Denver taking on the defending champs, the number one seed on the line. But first, the Heat. They host Luka Doncic and the red-hot Mavericks. It's at 7:30 Eastern. Coverage tips with the Emmy-nominated
say that
NBA
again.
Countdown. Congratulations to all our producers. That's at 7 o'clock.
And you, the host.
Coming up on NBA Today, we have the very latest on Anthony Davis's injury and what it means for the rest of the Lakers season. Stick around. You're going to want to hear that live report. And the Golden State Warriors, they turned back the clock. They broke an NBA record in the process. We tell you what that is and if they are able to ride this hot streak into the postseason. Plus, Draymond Green, Ramona, you heard this up close. Very interesting comments after the game, after another little skirmish last night. Is he the most important player for the Warriors? NBA Today. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
A huge game between the Warriors and the Lakers last night, battling for position in the play-in. And, by the way, it was a 52nd meeting between Steph Curry and LeBron James. We cannot take these matchups for granted. So LeBron James in, last minute, Anthony Davis out. The full complement of the Golden State Warriors, but LeBron James kicks things off, pulls up for a deep three there. He had 7 points in the first quarter. The game tied at 16, but this is the ensuing Warriors possession here. Steph, comes off the screen, drains a three, plus the foul. Curry would miss the free throw. The Warriors lead at the end of the first. But a new family member perk was introduced. I don't know about cousin, but Splash brother-in-law?
I like that, but Draymond was shooting it with confidence.
I mean, if they're not going to guard him, he has got to take that personally because they're giving him 8 feet.
I mean, just remember when they won it, 2 years ago, when he was down, then all of a sudden he came up big in Boston, knocking down some huge corner three-point shots.
Feeling it now, 5-5 from three in the first half. The first time he has ever done that, and he is loving it. Under 8 in the third, though, Warriors up 8. Curry threads the needle. What a pass to Klay Thompson.
What a pass, what a cut, what a finish.
Rui's like, let me get out the way.
This is the Warriors at their best right here. Under 5 to go. The Lakers still in this game at this point. LeBron James goes strong to the cup. Lakers cut the lead to 6, but then the next Warriors possession, same score. Thompson drives and then gets the floater. Nice touch there off the glass.
This is where the game was decided. LeBron sits out for a little bit, and the Warriors take advantage.
You could tell in that moment he just wasn't feeling very well. LeBron James to Rui. GP2 says no.
How tall is he to be blocking shots like that?
I don't know, but that was grown man business.
Might have been a foul. Yeah. Might have been a little body foul, but that's okay.
And then swing. Klay Thompson, good night. Golden State gets the win, 134-120. How important, though, is AD to this team, LeBron?
I mean, at the end of the day, we know we're as good as any team in the league when we're whole. And when we're not, you know, it's hard for us to make up, you know, especially having a guy like AD, not playing. It's almost pretty much impossible to make up for what he provides for our ball club, both offensively and defensively.
Our reporter covering the Lakers, Dave McMenamin, joins us now. So there was a lot of uncertainty surrounding LeBron and Anthony Davis's health leading into this game. Where are they both now in the light of a new day?
Malika, it ended up being parallel letdowns. First, LeBron on Sunday unable to go, right, and Anthony Davis on Tuesday unable to go. LeBron was bedridden for basically the 2 days after the loss against the Minnesota Timberwolves. He tried to maximize the rest period. He got to the arena about an hour and 5 minutes before tip-off. Usually he's shown up about 4 to 4.5 hours before a home game. But clearly he wanted to prioritize trying to get some extra fluids in him, try to maximize his rest. Clearly, his energy level wasn't where it normally is, but his impact was still there. And I think we'd have to believe that the coast is clear in terms of his availability for these final two games. Anthony Davis, we just don't know yet. Now, Anthony Davis, he arrived to the arena on Tuesday. He was intending to go through the team's walkthrough around 4 p.m. He wasn't feeling right. He laid down in the back in the locker room and then determined with the nausea and the headache he was experiencing, he had to go home. And I'm told that once he got home, the Lakers were playing this crucial game against the Warriors. He was feeling so out of it, so under the weather, that he couldn't even watch the game. You know, he was laying down, he was resting. And so we had to see how things go. The Lakers originally had a practice scheduled today. They decided to cancel it because what use is a practice if you need to get rest for your top two dogs? They're going to reconvene at the practice facility on Thursday before their flight to Memphis. And presumably we'll get an update there. But as of right now, we just don't know where Anthony Davis is going to be for these final two games.
We just don't know where Anthony Davis is going to be. And then you have LeBron James saying it's impossible to make up for what AD provides. It's a little bit concerning. Dave, thank you so much. You couldn't see Kendrick as you were talking, Dave, but your face looked a little bit perplexed, confused, worried.
I am worried. I'm worried for the Lakers. I mean, what, the Warriors are a half a game back from the ninth spot, right? And so if you're the Lakers, you know, you need Anthony Davis. Duh, you need a healthy LeBron James. Duh, not having AD there, like, and then going into having to go into the play-in tournament in a tough Western Conference, that's not good news.
Well, listen, they have not a lot of point of attack defense, and it's made up for by the fact that Anthony Davis is so good on that back line. Yeah. They just funnel everybody to him. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have great point of attack defense on the perimeter, and then you have no one to funnel them to, it was a layup line last night. I mean, they had 70 points in the first half,
right,
104 after three quarters, yep, 134 total. I know they made a historic amount of three-pointers in that game, but it was because the Lakers did not have any backline defense with Anthony Davis out.
Right, and Anthony Davis, when he's on the floor, the rim protection is great. yeah. when he's off the floor, their rim protection really, really struggles.
And you know what, to Ramona's point, when you have AD back there anchoring the defense and you have that rim protector, you have that 7-foot presence, it allows your guard to get a little bit more physical on the perimeter.
Yeah.
So not having them, yeah, I understand. Yep. Now guys can play Steph and Clay a little bit more physical. They can get into them, close out on shooters, make them drive to the basket. You don't have AD, you dead bird, tall grass.
So they have a little bit of time. That's yeah. one of my favorite perkisms. It really, really is. Particularly when I picture AD's face on like a blade of grass there. But when you look at the Lakers schedule here, all right, they have the Memphis Grizzlies on Friday, so they still have another day of rest that they get in here. And then they play the New Orleans Pelicans on Sunday, which is a really tough task,
yeah.
particularly if AD is unable to go. And then you start looking to the play-in tournament. Are they going to face the Pelicans in the play-in? Or are you going to face the Golden State Warriors in a 9-10 matchup? And all it takes is the Warriors getting hot like they did last night.
In San Francisco, if they're the 10.
Nightmare. Yeah.
I mean, Lakers, just think about how quickly things turn. They had won 9 of 10 games.
Yep.
And then the last three games, they lose AD to an eye injury. He gets poked in the eye against Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's not able to go the rest of the game. He can't go in this game against the Warriors. They lose that. So they went from dreaming about the 6th seed to now, we could be the 10 seed.
Right.
We're not careful.
Well, I do want to stick here with the Golden State Warriors. Hopefully we get to see AD back soon. He's been so, so important to this team, and we know how much he wants to be out here right at this point yep. in the year. We didn't show it in the highlight, but there was a notable moment. Check this out, this play. Austin Reeves, he scores on this play. Watch it right here. So Draymond, he hits in the process. There wasn't actually a foul called in this moment. So Draymond, he's upset about this. Steph had to step in a little bit, have a little bit of a conversation, separate him from the referees. The conversation continued a little bit. No texts were given, but here's what Draymond had to say about it after the game.
I get hit in the face every single game, and I get no foul calls. I hit somebody in the face, I get thrown under the jail. But when I get hit in the face, we don't see it. I get hit in the face every single night. Like, and I'm not sure one time it's been called, but I blow my breath on somebody and we're reviewing it for a flagrant foul. I don't get it. It's crazy to me.
Okay. Kendra Andrews, our reporter, is here covering the Warriors, is here with us. It's also National Siblings Day. So happy National Siblings Day, sis. You were at the game last night, yeah. right? Ultimately, nothing came from this incident. But despite the history, Draymond, he clearly feels like he isn't being treated fairly on this one from the officials. Is there any concern that this type of issue, it could burn them ultimately in the postseason?
No, because the Warriors, they believe that Draymond has the ability to keep a handle on his emotions as he's been doing really since he was ejected in that Orlando game a couple weeks ago. Ever okay. since then, he's been able to keep his emotions in check. There are instances with refs like we saw the other night, but we also saw right there Stephen Curry standing by his side, his teammates standing by his side, making sure he doesn't cross that line. And the overall thing is he knows how important he is to unlocking this entire team. He knows what they're on the cusp of, making the play-in, making the playoffs. He wants to be out there for that.
So Kendra and I were sitting next to each other in this press conference when Draymond started going in. And I looked at you like, ooh,
yeah.
he's going there.
Yeah.
And later on, we asked Steph about it. Like, hey, what was your role in this? And he goes, well, I'm not his babysitter, okay? I'm not Draymond's babysitter. But I understand that when Draymond's trying to walk the line, I need to help him walk the line sometimes. And that's really what the Warriors have had to do ever since that Orlando game where mm-hmm. he recognized, like he has put himself in this situation. He can't say certain things to the referees like he used to or to other players because of his past actions, because of what will happen if he does. And Steph is right there. And I've covered him the entire time, his entire career. I've never seen Steph Curry in the role that he is now.
Right.
And it's a leadership role that he has taken on. It's a role where he flat out says, we need you, big guy. Mm-hmm. And I got to make sure you don't get kicked out.
To be honest, I actually don't mind this from Draymond right now. You know why? Because if he's producing like he's been producing on the floor since he got ejected in Orlando, then damn it, have it your way. Yeah. Because if you're going to go out there and perform, I think he didn't had a couple games in double figures. Last night we saw him shooting the tray ball. He's playing with joy. He's playing with passion. Like, he's always going to play with passion, but that joy is there. I don't mind that from Draymond because he's delivering on the floor.
The bottom line that the Warriors have stressed time and time again is just walk the line. And what we saw against the Lakers last night was him talking to the refs. He didn't get a technical.
Right.
There wasn't a big hoopla with it, right? He walked away after. He had some words after the game, clearly. But he did what he had to do. He hit 5 3-pointers. He was tremendous.
And he walked the line, and if he wanted to cross it, Steph was standing right there making sure.
Exactly. As a team, when you shoot 63% on three, is the highest percentage ever.
Yeah, when you shoot attempt 43s, that's insane.
But to Draymond's defense, right, like Draymond is a veteran, right, four-time champion. Like the refs, they should have enough, you know, respect for him to be able to have a conversation with him. And the game is full of emotions. Yeah. And sometimes it's not going to come off as nice or, you know, he's not going to say, hey, why you didn't call a foul? So they have to give him that same respect.
But they also know he can't say anything back.
Yeah, I know.
But and that's sort of the conversation. Him. Well, that's kind of the conversation that he's having. He feels like he's at a point right now where he can't really say anything, and that's what's going to be interesting to see if that comes into play at a later point. Because when you look at the chances the Warriors and the Lakers are going to end up at each seed, there's still a 59% chance teams will be meeting in that 9-10 game. The Lakers now have a 59% chance to be 10th. I don't know, Park. How do you see this shaping up?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is why you play the game.
I just want it to happen.
To see it all shake out. Kendra, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today. Still to come on our show, Victor Wembanyama.
What'd he do now?
Oh, man.
I saw it.
He continues to dazzle. But which play was better from last night? His sham god or defending three players at once?
We what tell you, called you
that was insane.
A what?
Sham god.
Sham god.
Sham god.
God, sham god.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
It was a packed night of hoops, so let's play a little this or that. We're going to give you two options, and you're going to take your pick of which one you enjoyed more. We're going to start with Victor Wembanyama. He had two incredible plays last night. The first was this sham god.
Give me that one.
Oh, you don't even
I don't
see
even
want
to see
one.
The other one. But give me that one.
You don't even want to see when he defended three players at one time?
Oh, my
the
God.
The fact that he did that in traffic with the spin move, with the finish, with the left hand.
That's okay, crazy. Well, for good measure, we'll just show you anyway, just because. This is also absurd.
It's like the whole team.
What? I mean, he did everything that he could there.
And they still scored. Deal. I'm going to go with the sham guy.
Yeah. Next up, this is the worst missed dunk. This may go down as an all-time low. I'm so sorry.
I feel so bad.
I'm sorry. I really, really like Torrey Craig. I think Andre Drummond is so, so fantastic.
Yeah, Billy Donovan, hilarious. They got a couple jobs open in college, man. Go save your peace. Please.
Oh, it would have been such a good dunk.
All right. Well, then we have this Luka and Kyrie in the.
The fact that they having fun.
Well, you didn't get to see the end, but you know. Then we have this one here, which. What?
That was a pass. Yeah, that was a pass. Okay. Come on. Definitely a pass.
That was not a pass. That was not a pass.
Don't fall it down. Yeah, you go.
That's the mindset of a bucket.
Oh,
that was a pass. That was a pass.
Some young fella trying to get
paid. I don't think that was a pass either.
I think it was.
it was a pass.
And then last one, the Celtics not shooting one free throw the entire game. This was an NBA record, by the way.
I never thought I'd see that day.
Yeah, never thought I'd see this. Or the game time being only 1 hour and 57 minutes total. I don't know what's crazy.
Your money's worth if you're a fan there. But look, the Celtics are just trying to get to the playoffs healthy.
Yeah.
So they'll get this over quick.
Just shoot a lot of threes.
Well, there
don't
is
call
no,
timeout.
There is no this or that. It is all this when it is that woman right there, Caitlin Clark. She was named the 2024 Wooden Award.
Really? You don't
Tuesday,
say.
Right. Her second time taking the award. She's headed for the WNBA draft, Ramona, and will almost certainly go number one to the Indiana Fever. And during March Madness, Clark, I mean, she shattered viewership records for women's hoops. Will those numbers carry over to the pros? I believe so. I mean, you got
I think they're going to carry over, but there is an adjustment period.
Sure, but the Fever, we get to know how that adjustment is going
We're
to
just going to watch all of them.
Because, yeah, exactly. They have eight games on the ESPN family of networks, including Clark's potential opener. That's May 14th. I see Kendrick setting his calendar right now.
She needs to take Aaliyah Boston on a trip. They need to bond. They need that sooner that duo gets together, the better.
We have that one on ESPN, too. I know I'm also going to be watching when they visit the Liberty. May 18th. That one's on ABC. Two-time defending champs Aces on July 2nd on ESPN.
We got a busy Phoenix summer. Game? That Mercury game where Diana wants
to June 30th. We got a busy summer coming up. But before we get to that, the 28th annual WNBA draft. It's Monday night on ESPN and the app. The Indiana Fever, they have the first pick, followed by L.A., and then Chicago, and our coverage, it begins with WNBA Countdown at 7 Eastern from Brooklyn.
Real question, where does Juju go if she's in this draft?
Oh my gosh, she's been incredible. Before we bounce, brought to you by SiriusXM, it's time to say goodbye to a legend.
A true legend.
Oh my gosh.
Tara Vanderveer, the winningest basketball coach in NCAA history. She announced her retirement last night after coaching for a total of 45 seasons, 38 of those with Stanford. She helmed one of the most dominant college basketball programs during her time in Palo Alto. Three NCAA titles, 14 appearances in the Final Four. My goodness. She also retires as the all-time winningest coach in Division I basketball history, men's and women's, ahead of UConn's and Duke. Coach K.
This
there.
Is hitting me where it hurts, man. This you is know, my Tara Vanderveer was at Stanford when I was there, which was a while ago.
When you're and ahead of Gina Arena.
I know. Look, I should have worn a button-up shirt just
that's
to see.
I'm is so glad you wore that? See what I did there, Ramona. I was trying to be subtle. Congratulations to a legend, to a GOAT.
Risen.
And I just, the steward of a sisterhood that spanned decades is what Stanford said. I just thought that those were the perfect words.
Steve Kerr basically said last night, you know, I'm happy for her. What a great career. Now she can go water ski. She loves it.
Oh.
I want to see those videos. I want to see her out on Cam Brink's TikTok.
Still to come on NBA Today. I thought it was a mistake on the screen when I saw the Clippers were up by 30 in the first quarter. Is it time to write off the Suns as championship contenders? We'll discuss.
Tonight, the Mavs face the Heat with a major playoff seeding on the line. Catch NBA Unplugged with me, Kevin Hart, as I kick it with celebrity guests throughout the game.
If I was there, I would hit you, bro.
Yeah, breaking it down like only we can. It's the NBA Unplugged with Kevin Hart, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN app.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
So if you checked your phone last night, check the score, maybe you're wondering if your Wi-Fi was working, maybe you're watching and wondering if your cable was quirky. No. That was the score in the first quarter. And the thing is, this was a little bit surprising because the Suns have been playing pretty well. We've talked about this as a historically difficult stretch, but entering Tuesday, the Clippers have won 6 of their last 7 games, 2-0 against the Suns. And this just was not pretty, Perk.
No, and you know who's always fired up to play the Suns and Kevin Durant? That man right there, the Brody, Russell Westbrook.
And he showed every bit of that. Nothing falling for the big three in particular early in this game.
I mean, just look at their communication. They're walking back on defense, no transition defense, no sense of urgency whatsoever. And this is a team that's fighting to stay in the postseason.
The Suns, they scored 10 points in the first quarter. That's tied for the fewest by any team in the first quarter. The Clippers led 37-10 after that period. Jeez.
I mean, the fans were cheering loudly when Devin Booker finally hit some free throws. And this is a Suns team that has two of the greatest scorers in our game, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. But they have a history of playing bad when the opponent has some players out. They lost to the Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. And I know they didn't have Nurkic in this game, but there's no excuse for how far they fell behind.
Well, and the Clippers didn't have their full complement of players.
Yeah, no James Harden, no Kawhi.
Right, exactly. So you kind of have to take all of that into consideration. They did make it a game. But I want to talk about Russell Westbrook because he made more shots and recorded more rebounds and assists than the Suns did during that 37-10 first quarter. He went on to become the first player with a 15-15-15 Clippers history. He's one away from his 200th career triple-double.
Yes. He will get it tonight.
Yeah, that's insane. And congratulations to Russ. Well, actually, that part was fun to watch. But these two teams are back at it again tonight. We have a little back and forth here. The lineups
home
are
home.
A little bit different, a little home and home. Kawhi, Harden, Paul George, they are all out tonight for this one. Russell Westbrook is questionable. The Clippers are virtually locked into the four seeds. They really don't have much play for in terms of seeding, but the Suns, they still have a chance to get out of the play-in tournament. So, Kendrick, what do you need to see from Phoenix tonight?
I don't know. Like, I've been trying to figure out a word to describe the Phoenix Suns, and I couldn't come up with something, you know, that you and Woj been saying all day, you know, trying to enhance my vocabulary.
Calibrate, lackadaisical, yeah, a little too chill.
They're moody.
Ooh, like Moses?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but they're moody. I've never seen a team that's so up and down like them, right? You'll look at them and you'll be like, oh, the Suns are turning the corner. They have the right energy. And all of a sudden you hear Kevin Durant talking about the leadership is there. They're playing with passion. And then you see last night, an important game, right, for you to take this win and stay out of the play-in tournament. And all of a sudden, guys are not playing with alpha. You see the bad body language. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with this team? This is not a young squad. This is a veteran basketball squad with a lot of experience on them.
So I don't have a big word for you, but I have an easy answer. They miss Chris Paul. If you want to know why they're not competing, why they're not organized in the way that they were last year, they have not had a true point guard all season long. Sometimes it passes between Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. They haven't had a solution. It explains the fourth quarter, and it explains that competitiveness.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, if they were playing like that with Chris Paul on the team, you know what he'd be saying?
We can't say those things on television.
It is a family show.
Right.
But that is what they miss. And I know that was a financial decision. I know how much money he was making and what that was going to do with them. I know why they did it. But they basically threw finances out the window with this team. So why did you make that choice with Chris Paul?
So you said, you know what you're saying, Ramona? They're missing something. You know what they're missing? A leader. Yeah.
Oh, we're going back
to
that.
You said that.
Well, on the Clippers, side of all of this, though, you know, it's fine if they're virtually locked into their seating. Yeah. If that's the reason that they want to just, okay, we need to give Kawhi Leonard the extra time to rest up. If that's the reason, it's not cause for concern. Correct. But if there's something more, not having seen him in a couple of games here, you would kind of hope that we're going to be able to see him down the stretch just because this is the time of year for the Los Angeles Clippers. All right, that's going to do it for us. Enjoy tonight's games. We'll see you on NBA.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.